It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're studying the book of Philippians. We're in the second chapter. We're going to be reading verse 5 through 11 today. And so please, that you'd open your Bibles up and follow along with me. I hope that you have them in front of you. I hope that you have an opportunity to follow along with me. If you don't, please listen very carefully. And while you're doing that, while you're looking up that scripture verse, I would like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We are located in Hamilton, Illinois. We're at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. And I'd love for you to come and visit us if you would like to. And if you don't have a church home, or if you do have a church home, you love the preaching of the Word here, and you question whether the preaching is true where you're going, take your precious Word out. Study that Word and find out that they are preaching what the Word of God tells them, and don't accept this line that's what it says, but that's not what it means. I ask that you search it and come to know Jesus as your Savior, and if you would do that, ask Him into your heart and face your sin and ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you. And if you do that, then you'll have the Holy Spirit within you to guide and lead you through the Word. And I believe He's going to move you to a place where they're preaching the Word. Maybe you're right there now, but if you're not, I ask, the time is short. Please be in the house of God where the Word of God is preached and proclaimed. If you don't have such a church home, I invite you to come here or search in your area, wherever that might be, a good Bible-preaching, soul-winning church. Now that you have your Bibles open, I would love for you to follow along with me as we read this precious scripture. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of the things in heaven, and the things in earth, and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now please, as we finish the reading of the precious Word, I ask that you would listen very carefully and prayerfully as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I ask you that you would guide and lead us today, and please that we do become good listeners to you, Lord, and let your Holy Spirit, that He would touch our hearts, that He would convict our hearts, that, Father, we could experience and know without a question that we're saved. We know that we're sinners, we're lost, and we need to come to you as our Savior. And I ask, Father, that there not be one person out there that's listening today that hasn't gotten down on their knees and says, Jesus, please, would you save me? I don't understand all of it, but I know that I'm lost, and I know that I need to be saved, and please, would you save me? Now, Father, would you touch every heart today, and would you please move in a mighty way that each and every listener would be saved, and then they would set out to study your Word and to know your will and way for their life, that they can be servants for you, Lord Jesus. Now, I ask that you will guide and lead us now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, it's great to study your Word. It's great to spend time in prayer over the precious Word. And now I ask that you will please follow along as we enjoy this study today. We have there in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Now, over the past a couple of weeks, and especially last week, we spent some time talking about being what Jesus took on, the responsibility, and what Jesus really has done for you and for me. And through the past, why people have divided this, we studied it one verse at a time very carefully, and we did not speak of it in this manner, but there are seven steps, and I would like to share with you those seven steps so that you can see what Jesus has done for us, and it's seven steps from glory. And we didn't divide it that in that way last time, but I want to share that with you this time. Before we start with that, you know, we talked about how that it's hard to explain that He left He is God. He has never been any less God, even though He took on the form of a man and came down here upon this earth to live. And there is one time, you know, we talked about that people couldn't look upon the glory of God, the power of God, because they couldn't live to do that. Well, there was one time, and we have it in the chapter 17 of the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 3. There is one time here when he allowed very special friends, very special followers of Jesus to witness a part of his glory. And let's look here in Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 3. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John. That's the three I'm speaking of. Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brings them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. So they did witness at least a part of the glory of God. And he took them up into his presence, took them up to see this important sweet time. And let me read that. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. Oh, my friend, what the Lord Jesus will show us if we'll look into his word, if we'll stay in the faithfulness of his precious word and his precious church, and set out to serve him the way that Jesus wants us to serve him, if we'll just follow after his word, let the Holy Spirit touch our hearts, not look for all the other fancy things and excitement that is going on today. Please, that you just look to his word, that you can be empowered by his presence. And these three, Peter, James, and John, what a sweet opportunity to see the glory of the Lord. Now, please that you would search your word. Come to know Jesus as your Savior, and then begin that sweet walk that you can see his power and his glory. And right now, it's just going to be a spiritual vision, but there'll be a day when we're going to see him face to face. And I wanted to show that verse of Scripture to you as it come to mind, and I couldn't turn to it quickly enough last week, so I hunted it up for you. And I ask that you will please enjoy the study of the Word. And now again, in verse 5, and we're going to go through these seven steps fairly quickly, and then we'll begin on the seven steps upward. And we're going to study those as we studied the seven downward, and not necessarily 1, 2, 3 in that fashion. But let me show you what Jesus, the steps he's done. Now, first of all, he has come down from heaven. He has left the glory and presence of his Father. He's no less God, but he has left that place and come down here upon this earth. The second thing we find in verse 7, verse 6, let me read it. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, he came down from glory and yet could name himself as God because he is God. He never left that place or that position. He didn't leave he didn't leave himself at home. He left, again, what we talked about here in Matthew 17. He left that at home. He was very humble. He left himself of no reputation, as verse 7 says, which is the second thing, the beginning of verse 7, but made himself of no reputation. We find in also verse 7, the third thing, he took on the form of a servant. We find next in the seventh verse as well, he was made in the likeness of man. We find now in verse 8, being fashioned as a man. Each of these are steps down from what Jesus, being God, from leaving glory. We find being fashioned as a man, he humbled himself, as verse 8 tells us. The next, he was obedient unto death. And the last, even death of the cross. Now, those are all verses that we have studied last week. Being made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, made the likeness of man, being fashioned as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient to death, death on the cross. all the things that Jesus has done for you. Now please, will you come by faith to Jesus and be saved? It's so wonderful to study the precious word and to look at the precious word. Now let's begin with verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. We've come down from glory, down from heaven. Now we're on our way back up. This is what God has done for his son Jesus. And again, Jesus is God as well, equal, the same. We have the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three separate persons, yet one. You cannot separate them. They never disagree. They never lift a question one to the other. Each one completely knows what the other is doing, thinking, wants to do, and they are never in disagreement with each other. They are one. Oh, that we could be one in Jesus. Not as the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, but be with one with Jesus to agree with him. Be of like mind, as verse 5 tells us. Let this mind be in you. I hope you have the mind of Christ. The only way you can have the mind of Christ is if you come to the Lord Jesus and be saved and pleased today that you trust in Jesus. We find here, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. I love talking about that precious name. Have you noticed recently that, and it's been for the past years, that when you hear a preacher preach, or you hear someone speaking of some religious experience they've had, they will tell you that God has done this in my life. Oh, God has moved in such a mighty way. Oh, God has healed me. God has put my family together. God has done all these things. And you know, those words are not incorrect. But you know where the power is? And you don't hear preachers today preach about it. You don't hear men and women giving testimony about the name of Jesus. We have a name here. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And that at the name of Jesus. I know why people don't say, Jesus has done this in my life. I know that Jesus came into my heart and my life and saved me. And Jesus has set me free because he has offered himself upon the cross of Calvary and now I can live. The reason people don't talk about Jesus, the reason people don't say the name of Jesus, because there is power, almighty power in the name of Jesus. And so that's just one little trick of Satan. And Satan has so many in his bag of tricks, so many things that he does to move us and to bring us to a point where we do some what most people would call small things. And that is just to back away enough when we give a witness or a testimony or even speak anything in church, again, for me to preach or to you just to testify of what God has done in your life, that's much simpler and much safer and does not offend people. When you say, you know, God's done this in my life. The Lord has really done a great work in my life. Do something for me. Change that to Jesus. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. When you are testifying of something that's happened in your life, and you're claiming that God has done that miracle in your life, will you please claim the one that did it then, and that is the name, and that is Jesus, the Son of God. Name him. Jesus. Jesus. If you catch yourself not able to do that, it's probably because you don't know Jesus. Oh, you know that there's a God in the heavens. You believe that. You know, yes, he had a son, and his son's name is Jesus, and you know that son, we're going to read that verse of Scripture back in Matthew here in a little bit, concerning his birth and and that he would receive the name of Jesus. But if you have trouble speaking the name of Jesus, the reason is because there's power in that name. The power that comes in that name convicts your heart. Or it convicts the heart of those that are next to you. And when you talk about the name of Jesus, they would be much more comfortable if you would say, God or Lord. Satan hates the name of Jesus. And you'll find that you can speak of God about so many different things. So many things. And it won't change people's countenance at all. It won't affect them whatsoever. But you lift up the name of Jesus in that conversation. And there's one of two things that's going to happen. Either those people will instantly rejoice with you because, yes, they know Jesus. Or they'll flee. You can just replace one word, replace the word God with the word Jesus. And in most cases, the visiting, the conversation is over. Because you see, the people you're talking to, they maybe believe as well there's a God up there, but they have nothing in common with Jesus because they have not trusted him as their Savior. They don't know Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. Let's look at some verses of Scripture here. I love these verses. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, lifted him up. Isn't that great? You know, there's sure nothing important about this old world. And there's really not much important about anyone that's in the world. If you really get right down to it, we've all got some things in common. One is that we're born. Another is that we're born into sin. And the next is we're going to die. And the only thing that can change that and take us from something that is sad, that is something that is miserable for us to face, and that is reality, that there really isn't much to our life if you get right down to it. But I tell you what comes, and it comes when we trust in Jesus. At that time, our whole life changes, and we realize how powerful and how wonderful Jesus really is. When you face how small this whole world, how little it is, how unimportant it is. Scientists have said that they could, you know, the Earth could totally be annihilated and it wouldn't affect the universe at all. And you know, as people are born, they live and they die. Those that are close to those people, sure, there's a memory there, and you think of the things that have happened and the good times that you've had and the bad times that you've had, and those memories are there. But to most of the people, it's not long, and the existence of that person is almost gone. And you know, you hear people say that, you know, I forgot about them. You ever go back into your school yearbook? You're flipping through those pages? You know, you may have spent all 12 or 13 years with them, or you may have spent just 4 years. In my case, I went from a grade school into a larger high school, and so I just spent 4 years with some of those folks. But, you know, I flipped through the yearbook, and there's so many of those faces that I haven't thought about them, forgot about them. We have one here, God the Father, hath highly exalted the Son, Jesus. Lifted him up. You know, that's the reason I can face tomorrow. That's the reason that I can face today and enjoy and fellowship with today, because I have Jesus. I don't have a hopeless, helpless world that has fallen apart around me and I can't seem to do anything about putting it back together again. I don't have to worry about that because, you see, We have went with something that is so sinful and cursed that seems to have very little value to it, to something that has much value. And Jesus made the difference. Jesus came down upon this earth to buy us, highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Oh, this precious word. We love this precious word. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21. We have far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Highly exalted. Lifted up. That precious name. And that at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow. I have in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 through 25. Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. And Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Look back to verse 21 once again, Matthew 1:21. She shall bring forth a son. It was told to her, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He was named. And Emmanuel means God with us. Jesus means Savior. Have you trusted in the Savior, the Lord Jesus? This Savior, this man God, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, lifted him up. Highly exalted, gave him a name above every name, and that at the name of Jesus, that precious name of Jesus, that every knee should bow, everyone. Now look at what we're told here. Every knee should bow of the things in heaven, in the things in earth, and the things under the earth. Do you deny Jesus Christ today? Have you not come to him and trusted in him to take care of your sin? Have you not faced that you're a sinner and you're lost in your sin? Have you not recognized that you need a Savior and there is only one? I don't care what all the other books say. I don't care what anything else says. The only one that's true and right is the Word of God. You go into that Word and you let that Word touch your heart and change your life. And I ask you that you trust in the Lord Jesus. And I ask that you have bowed your knee before Him and accepted Him as your Savior, and you have set Him forth to be Lord of your life. I hope that you've done that. And if you've not done that, please do that right now. Come down onto your knees and say, Jesus, would you please, I turn to you. That's all he's asking you to do, is turn to him. And once you have returned, to repent means to turn. And once you've turned to him and trusted in him, because you see, Jesus went to the cross, and Jesus died on that cross. And you know why that man, Jesus, you know why he could purchase your sin and he could purchase your life back? He could set that slate clean. You know why he could do that? Because that man, Jesus, is God. Down from heaven. That's why. Died on the cross that you and I can live. I love those verses of Scripture. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, lifted him up, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of the things in heaven, the things in earth, and the things under the earth. Now, you could probably understand the things in heaven would bow to Jesus. The things in earth, you know, there's a lot of people here. There's a lot of people that deny Jesus. There's a lot of people that deny the very existence of God. And you're right, there's an awful lot of people that have not bowed their knee. Maybe you're one of them. Maybe you're going to give me this lifelong story that I hear so often, and that is that my church doesn't do that. Well, your church ought to. And whether your church does or not, you take care of it. Face your sin right now and ask Jesus into your heart to save you. He died on the cross for you. He did all that work for you that you can live. Now please trust in Jesus and be saved. Now if you're still holding back, I don't care how young or how old, if you're still holding back and you don't want to give up your wonderful sin and your wonderful life, and you don't want to surrender it to Jesus, give it all to Him that you can serve Him and worship Him and praise Him with all honor and glory and enjoy the peace and the joy of walking after Him. If you don't want to do that, and I'm a witness to tell you that it is great and it is wonderful. If you don't want to do that, then you're going to be one that's under the earth as well. Because, my friend, you got a choice to make. And if you will not trust in Jesus, the Word of God tells us that you are condemned already. And you're going to find yourself in the pits of hell. You're going to find yourself in the lake of fire. Because that's the only place for the individual that does not come by faith to Jesus. I get sick of all the liberals telling us that there are many ways. If you follow after any of the other gods, they believe in that, so that works for them. No, it doesn't. The only thing that works for you and for me is to trust in Jesus, the Son of God, to save you from your sin. What did that say back there in Matthew a while ago? It tells us in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, "She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." He's come to seek and to save those that are lost. And I hope that you trust in him. But I'll tell you what, if you don't, and if you say, "Nobody is going to tell me that I need to come to Jesus and bow my knee before him. Nobody's going to have me do that. Nobody's going to force me to do that." If you're one of those, if you're one of those that deny Jesus, if you're one of those that deny the even presence of God, you're blind and you're ignorant. You need to come to Jesus. Open your eyes. You're so filled up with this world that you're dead in your sin and you don't even know it. You're so smart that you're foolish. How can you be so smart and be so stupid all at the same time? Well, that's what happens if you ignore this precious gift of that Jesus has for you. In His own life, you can live. By His death, we have life. Now, please come to Jesus. But if you won't, there will be a time, I guarantee you, there will be a time that you're going to bow before Jesus. Oh, not as Savior, not as the opportunity you have right now to trust in Him as your Savior. But you will be bowing before Him because He is King of kings and Lord of lords, and He is God, and there will be a time. You're not going to be saved at that time. You're still going to be in the pits of hell, but you're without a question, you're going to bow your knee before Him because He's God. Do it now before it's too late. My friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?